RTI Digital Series on this, whatever day it is in the week. I'm happy to be joined by David Ubben today from The Athletic as we talk Tennessee football. David, what's up with you, bud?
Not much. NIL, another transfer. For what's supposed to be a quiet week, a holiday weekend, not going to be. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and we were wondering what happened to the offseason in college sports because it has disappeared. On the bright side, there's going to be a season this fall, which immediately gives this offseason an upgrade from last year. But I don't know what happened. It's sort of evaporated from underneath us, and good times.
We got nothing. I mean, I come back from Omaha, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get at least a week or two off, and everything's going to be fine. And that kind of goes down the drain. Hey, let's hit on the topic. It just kind of started when we were recording. Darrell Middleton hitting the transfer portal. I've been told it's likely he ends up at another SEC school, maybe not far away from Memphis. We'll see how that plays out over the next couple of days. But this goes on to the fact Greg Emerson also, you know, had transferred earlier. David, me and you've spoken this spring, and we kind of talked about players that might not be here in the fall. Does today's news surprise you in any way when it comes to Middleton or even the Emerson thing?
I mean, no, not if you sort of had your ear to the ground. It didn't really surprise you. I'm a little surprised that it is almost July.
Yeah.
And now I felt like it would probably be sooner, but you know, certainly a guy whose name kept coming up when you sort of heard about these things mysteriously disappeared at the end of spring, the end of spring football. So, certainly a talented guy. He's, you know, Tennessee doesn't have a lot of get off the bus all-stars, but Darrell Middleton would be one. You know, the get off the bus all-star team doesn't mean a ton, but just guys that it's pretty much, you know, him and Cade, really the only guys on the team that you're just like, whoa. And so now they're down to one. And, you know, again, how much does that mean? I don't know. But the measurables are something that you can't really duplicate. But the host of other problems and just didn't turn out for him the way that didn't, I'm sure he hoped.
What do you think the defensive line kind of looks like, how we transition this thing into the fall now? Because I personally wouldn't be surprised if there's one more player that enters the portal before fall camp starts. And I don't know how this July 1st date also lines up that the NCAA put in.
Yeah.
Where you got to be in, I think, July 1st to be eligible for this upcoming season. So, and maybe there's also mandates in there that can extend that, but whatever. What do you think Tennessee's defensive line looks like now with Rodney Gardner in there? And then what they've added also from the portal in the spring, you know, with from Kansas and from USC, you know, Tremblay, and then from Kansas, you know, so how does it play out in your mind?
Well, I think it seems like Tyler Barron's going to spend a lot more time with a hand in the dirt. It sounds like that's going to be the case. I'm buying all of the DJ Terry stock that I can at the moment, the Kansas transfer. I think he's a guy, I wrote about him this fall. He hadn't played a lot of football, and he's close to the get off the bus all-stars. He was out at a camp earlier this summer, and he might have the biggest biceps of anyone I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's ridiculous. And, you know, that raw ability, I mean, he has a chance to really go through the roof, I think. And so I would keep an eye on those two guys. You know, the rest of them, we'll see. You know, I don't know that my expectations are super high. You know, again, I think Barron has a lot to prove. Terry has a lot to prove. There's just not a lot of sort of known entities on this team. And even the ones, you know, defensive line or elsewhere, and even the ones that are, haven't done a ton. They still have, you know, a lot to prove. And so this is going to be an interesting Tennessee team.
When we kind of look at, okay, where we stand with offensive line, defensive line, is there a lot of players that stand out to you that have that it factor immediately for Tennessee when you look at it? Or is this a group going into fall that, in your opinion, it's going to be, you know, by committee when it comes to this? Because if you look at the secondary, the corner position, okay, how does Alante play? What do we look like on the other side when it comes to Burrell or whoever's going to play in that spot? I'm interested in your thoughts on how many of those guys are out there that Tennessee's going to be able to rely on immediately to be able to, you know, to do what they need to do, especially on defense when they're not going to be on the field you know, the offense is going to be off the field in 2 minutes. Defense is right gone. So they got to build depth.
Well, I mean, they don't have it. I mean, that's, you know, not to belabor the point, but Caron Prunty, that's a big loss for them because they only, I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they still only have four scholarship corners. This transactional fall or whatever offseason has been honestly hard to keep track of if you look away for a couple days. But by my count, you have Alante Taylor, who's, again, a known entity. I mean, he's going to start. And then you have Kenneth George and Warren Burrell at the other side. And then they really liked what they saw out of Christian Charles in the spring. But we're still talking about a true freshman here. Like, I believe you're only for your four scholarship corners. I don't think they've added one. Am I wrong? I don't believe so.
I don't.
And so, you know, you're a couple injuries away from looking at the walk-on list. And, you know, it's less than ideal. They got some guys who can play, but you're just so crazy thin there.
When you look at linebacker, what sticks out to you the most? Is it how lack of players that they have right now? Is it them going to have to move guys back to that position coming off the line? Like, what's a big thing to say? Okay, so you got Jeremy Banks. Okay, who else is it going to be? You know, I know that they have some playmakers that can be in that spot, but if you had to look at it right now, you know, who's Jeremy Banks, in your opinion, lining up next to come fall camp?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, we'll see what they do with Roman Harrison. I think if he can get healthy, you know, he jumps out. We'll see what Aaron Willis can do. You know, Byron Young, I think, is going to split some time. I think he'll probably spend a little bit more time with his hand in the dirt. I mean, how they're going to kind of use those guys will be a little tricky. You know, we'll probably see Aaron Beasley in the mix at some point. You know, Morvin Joseph as well. Morvin Joseph, he came here and you heard he was sort of a pure pass rusher. And now it's like, well, now he's kind of living in the middle and playing in coverage, and that's kind of necessity, but also, like, you know, I don't know that he's big enough to put his hand in the dirt. And it's just the 4-3 scheme or even a 4-2-5 scheme, probably not the greatest fit for him in general, but, you know, they need him. They just don't have, again, this transition. This roster is just not built for, you know, what they want to do. And so they're going to be playing with some short hands here, you know, coming this fall.
What's the quarterback race look like in your mind, David? I mean, you know, in my opinion, you know, Milton's coming in, he's trying to learn everything on the fly over the summer. And you've got Bailey, you know, you've got Hooker, you had Maurer that was around, Caden's gone now. You know, in your opinion, what, they got to go 2 weeks of fall camp and they got to figure out who their two guys are. They can't lax this thing on and go into the final week and try and do find a starter or two guys that can at least play in that first game, right?
Well, I'll be shocked if you see games. I don't think that's what Josh Heupel wants to do. He has just a very different philosophy than Jeremy Pruitt, who, whether he believed it or not, seem to treat quarterback like any other position. And there's a lot of people in football who just don't believe you can do that. And I think Josh Heupel is one of those. Again, I've been saying it for weeks. I would be scared to bet against Joe Milton. Will he win it? I don't know that I would bet on him, but I don't know that I'd feel real scared betting against him just because he's the most physically gifted of these guys in terms of just pure tools. You know, Harrison Bailey has the pedigree and the production and all of those things. And if he can take a step forward, I think he can be in the mix. I think it's coming down to those two guys. But it's going to be a fun preseason camp because a lot changes and practice starts and pads go on. Things can move in a hurry. And, you know, I think you could make a case for those two, Hendon Hooker. You know, see what Brian Maurer does. Certainly he would have the longest odds at this point, but it's going to be actually wide open. This is not a competition in name only. I mean, handicapping this, if you could bet on it in Vegas, good luck, because it is, it's going to be complicated.
Yeah, it's going to be complicated. Hey, name, image, and likeness starting up. This is going to be, I remember having conversations about this with you in the spring. It's going to be a cluster because, in my opinion, you're going to have like student athletes playing softball and track and field. In basketball, they're going to make a lot more money than the players that are on the football field. But also you have to tie into the fact that, you know, some of these football players are marketable. Some of them are not. They might be well known to Tennessee players because they're in the two deep, but they're not known anywhere outside of the Knoxville area. How do you think this name, image, and likeness thing is going to go down, and how do you think Tennessee approaches it with not much help from the NCAA?
Well, you're going to see a lot of deals, a lot of small deals. If you have that next level star, which Tennessee at the moment obviously does not have, you know, there's going to be some chances to really make a lot of money. I think, you know, in recruiting, how people handle that will be a little bit touch and go. And that's really going to be a bit more difficult and complicated. If I'm a recruit, me personally, I am probably charging for whatever update there needs to be. Like, that's a great way to make money because people want to know that. People will pay for that. And if you're a five-star kid, hey, subscribe to my Patreon, and I'm going to write a 400-word diary about my official visit. And it won't just be, hey, I love the family atmosphere and had a great time. Like, you know, here's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Or something like that, or a podcast, something like that. I'd probably do that if I was a recruit. So that will be interesting because you have like college sports is the way it's set up. You have this gap because guys are in high demand when they're recruits and then they come on campus depending on where they are. And for a couple years, they're pretty anonymous because they're just not playing and it is what it is. And some guys deal with that better than others and all that stuff. And then when you become a star and you're starting to play and you're having 1,500-yard seasons or 3,000-yard passing seasons and all that stuff, well, now you're in demand again. And that's where I think you're going to see autograph signings. You're going to see a little bit more, not so much the information or, you know, this sort of thing based on the future, but based on now. And so, you know, there's an opportunity for large, but if a lot of this is social media and, you know, recruiting is a great way to grow your social media feed. It just is. People can complain about it, but the guys that have massive social media feeds is because they were probably four or five stars and they kind of milked it a little bit. And I think you might see that. And that's a way to monetize. I think you're going to see a lot of stuff on social media. You're going to see a lot of stuff, you know, smaller deals. It's not going to be so-and-so in a car dealership ad that you're going to see during games as much. It's going to be a lot of stuff on social media. It's going to be a lot of smaller deals.
And they can't compete as well with whatever Tennessee.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's
a Weigel's commercial.
Yeah.
They're run by Pilot.
Yeah. And so we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I think it's anybody who says they know how it's going to be is lying. And it's, I think for us, you know, at The Athletic, we're kind of sitting back and watching over the next week and saying, okay, where's the interest here? And where are the things that are really affecting the sport? We'll keep an eye on it.
Well, also who makes the first move too. I mean, I think that's a big thing as well. I think, you know, in talking with some folks, there's like four or five SEC schools that I would be comfortable saying that these guys are prepared for this NIL stuff. I think other schools are kind of in a wait and see approach and see how this thing plays out. You know, Tennessee didn't have their big meeting with all their players to inform them until Wednesday and kind of give them more insight into what's going on. So I'll be interested to see how that part plays out. So let's get into and kind of wrap it up here in just a minute. When it comes to recruiting, how do you think – you wrote a fantastic piece on the behind-the-scenes stuff that you talk to other recruits about when it comes to what goes into a Josh Heupel weekend, an official visit. How do you think Tennessee's managing that right now with the NCAA cloud hanging over their head and then also not much success, David, over the last 10 years?
Well, they're trying to be upfront. I mean, the reality is that nobody knows what the effect of the NCAA stuff is. It's probably pretty stark, the fact that they don't have good answers to difficult questions because they don't know. If somebody says, well, what are the penalties going to be? You're literally guessing. Like, you're literally guessing. You have some educated guesses. You can point to some precedents, but you don't know. And again, I think that's where it's tough for recruits because then you double on top of that. They don't know you. Josh Heupel and the staff were not recruiting a lot of these guys, or at least the big-time guys, or the in-state guys. They have longer relationships. So if you're a kid, you have to choose who to believe. If Josh Heupel says, or an assistant coach says, well, we think it's probably going to be 1 year, it might be two. That's, I think, reality. I think that's what Tennessee is looking at. But if another coach says, you might not be able to play in a bowl game until you're a junior, you have to choose. You have to say, well, I believe this or I believe this. And I think that doubt, it makes it hard for people to go all in on Tennessee. So, you know, I reported earlier this week, I think you're probably going to see Tennessee self-impose some things before the season starts.
Yep.
Over at The Athletic. You can read more about that. And I think you're going to see that. I wouldn't bet my life on it, but that's sort of the aim. And so that can help. It's not going to close it because you still have to wait for the NCAA to officially say, okay, that's fine. Considering how closely Tennessee has worked with the NCAA on this investigation, you would have to feel pretty good that whatever you self-impose is probably close to or in line with what the NCAA does. The NCAA coming over the top, I would be surprised because Tennessee has not been combative in this process. Some would say they've been too cooperative because the history of the NCAA has shown if you just put the wall up and laugh at the NCAA because they don't have subpoena power, that can pay off for you. Tennessee took the other approach, which was inviting the NCAA into all of their interviews.
And it's still going on, by the way.
Yeah, and it's still going on. And so, you know, that the strategy was what it was. And you can, I mean, again, this is like literally, it's not that different from a third down play call. You can do one thing, you can do another thing. We'll see how it plays out. Unorthodox, I would say, from Tennessee. But again, that's what they're dealing with because it's difficult. And so what is the impact of that on the recruiting trail? I mean, you don't know because there's not an alternate universe for the recruiting without this.
Right.
But, you know, the class has not looked super strong so far. And especially with the strength of the in-state class, you know, there's 14 four-stars. They're looking pretty good with 1 to 3 of them. And they're striking out with a lot of them. And, you know, that's tough. That's tough.
We're going to see how it plays out. It's going to be an interesting dead period type of month that July brings. See if Tennessee gets any commits. I would think they would get 1 or 2 commits in the month of July. We'll see, though, as we get ready for the football season. David, tell everybody where they can follow you, your fantastic work that you put out. I urge everybody to go read his Eckler piece, Mike Eckler. That was fantastic, and especially behind-the-scenes recruiting stuff that you put out. David, tell everybody where they can follow you.
TheAthletic.com. You subscribe to us. You get You get our access to everything, whatever you care about, all our college football stuff, NBA playoffs, Euros, fantasy, all that stuff. We've got, goodness, a few hundred writers in our network. Whatever you care about, I can pretty much guarantee you that we've got it covered. So check it out.
I'm excited for the Ted Lasso reviews that will be coming up from some of your writers.
We may have to go all out on Ted Lasso. I'm a little not pleased with Ted Lasso. They sent my colleague Nicole Auerbach a care package that included some of the cookies.
I saw that.
I know a AFC Richmond jersey, and I believe she is getting some screeners early just because she likes the show and has tweeted about it. Folks, that influencer life, I got to get on that.
Yeah, I got to up my Instagram, man.
I got to turn my name, image, likeness into Ted Lasso merch.
That's fantastic. David Ubbin from The Athletic, thanks for joining, man. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, bye.